This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
You know, I often say that to me, democratic socialism is the value that in a modern, moral, and wealthy society, no person in America should be too poor to live.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the rising star of the progressive left. Now we're exploring the ripple effects of her win in New York, right here in Florida.
You know, I think her victory really spoke a lot to just the running on your values and getting out there and, you know, really just trying to represent everyday people.
It was an upset, and I think it was inspirational for a lot of first-time candidates and especially young candidates.
We've tracked down a couple of Democratic candidates riding this new energizing wave in their party. You'll hear from Jeremy Matlow, who's running for a Tallahassee City Commission seat.
People are realizing that if they get people excited and offer them a good platform, you'll see wins like we saw in New York City. We know we saw Stacey Abrams in Georgia. So I think that's the signal, like, you know, this is the path to victory.
And Anna Escamani, who's running for Central Florida's House District 47.
So I don't personally identify with socialism. My goal is to redefine what it means to be a Democrat in this state.
We have all that and more coming up this week on episode 152 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program. A very impressive New York primary win has rattled the Democratic Party, giving the liberal wing a long-sought victory and a signal to party leaders that a change is coming. While some Republicans and the old guards in the Democratic Party are skeptical, saying, don't read too much into 28-year-old organizer Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's primary victory. But others say you'd be smart to keep an eye and take her win as a sign of things to come. So here's how Ocasio-Cortez managed to beat Representative Joseph Crowley, the fourth-ranking Democrat in House leadership, who also had speaker ambitions.
I think that really, I mean, we won because we organized. We won because I think we had a very clear winning message. And we took that message to doors that had never been knocked on before. We spoke to communities that had typically been, I think, dismissed, and they responded. You know, when people feel like they are being spoken directly to, I do feel like they are willing, they'll do things like turn out in an off-year midterm primary.
That's Ocasio-Cortez during a CNN interview. The question is, can her victory be replicated during this election cycle? Also, she's a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, a group that is seeing rapid growth in its membership. So what is democratic socialism? Ocasio-Cortez recently gave this response on PBS.
You know, I often say that to me, democratic socialism is the value that in a modern, moral, and wealthy society, no person in America should be too poor to live. And for me, what it really means is establishing a baseline level of economic and social dignity in the United States to say, no matter what happens, we're not going to go below this level, that all we should aim for every person in this country to be covered by health care, to have access to a full college education as well as trade school, and to make sure that people feel stable in their housing.
So the idea for this episode was pulled together on short notice. A supporter and listener suggested the topic, and I went out looking for candidates that were generating similar buzz as Ocasio-Cortez here in Florida. First recommendation was Anna Escamani for House District 47 in Central Florida. Here's our conversation. Democrat Anna Escamani for Florida's House District 47 in Orange County. Welcome to the Rotunda.
Thanks so much, Tramell. It's awesome to be here.
First of all, like, you had a dream come true moment in your race to join the Florida House. Your primary opponent dropped out. If you could briefly tell us what was going on there.
Well, it was actually a lot of stress because it was a fake primary opponent. You know, based on what we saw, it seemed pretty clear to us that this opponent was actually recruited by local Republican consultants to create a fake primary opponent. It happened the very last minute of qualifying when this person actually filed to run. And about a week later, I was just doing my due diligence and looked at his paperwork and noticed that his wife served as his notary, which is against Florida statute. And I know that because I am a notary. And I think it's important that we follow rules and laws. And it was already quite suspicious the way that he entered the race. And so after speaking to mentors and attorneys, I made the decision to actually file a declaratory complaint against my fake opponent on the ground that the bad notary would decertify his paperwork and thus disqualify him. And as you and listeners know, about 2 weeks later, he made the decision to withdraw from the race.
Wow. And I recently had State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg on the program talking about rogue and sham candidates. Yeah. And it looks like you're following the same tactic.
Well, I definitely admire Dave Ehrenberg for his work on combating writing candidates, because that is a sham and it needs to stop in Florida. This situation is a little bit different because he filed as a Democrat, you know, to create a primary. But it's a very similar intent to mislead and confuse voters, to play tricks with democracy. And so I can't relate to Dave Ehrenberg on the notion of we want to make sure that democracy actually works and serves the people. And it was not an easy decision, Tramiel, for me to file a lawsuit. I mean, I'm 28 years old. The idea of filing a lawsuit at any point in my life seemed very far, let alone at this early in my career. But I knew that my district knows me as a fighter, and I will fight for District 47 in the streets, in Tallahassee, and in the courts if I have to.
This idea came from an avid listener and supporter of the program, and he wanted to hear from candidates around the state on the spectrum of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's victory in New York. That's a mouthful. She's a member of the Democratic Socialists of America and managed to unseat longtime powerful Democrat Representative Joe Crowley, who held the congressional seat. So your name came up on multiple mentions from people. How do you feel about that?
That's really kind and generous. I mean, you know, her win was an upset, and I think it was inspirational for a lot of first-time candidates, and especially young candidates. And I think it does demonstrate two things for me. I think one, it's her level of authenticity in how she talks about the issues that she cares about, and also how hard she works. That was pretty clear compared to her Democratic opponent, that she was putting in the hustle and he wasn't really. When I learned that he sent a surrogate to a debate instead of showing up himself, I mean, I think that's a major red flag of someone practicing transactional politics versus transformative politics. And I really embrace the notion of transformative politics. And I define that as politics that isn't just about, if I do this for you, you'll do this for me, but rather giving with that expectation and running on a platform that will change lives and allowing your constituents to play a part in that.
Where do you fall in the Democratic Party? Extreme left, moderate, progressive? Like what? How do you identify yourself?
I define myself as a progressive Democrat.
And what does that mean?
For me, it means that I approach every problem and every issue with clear eyes and open heart. I'm inclusive in how I work with people. And when it comes to solving some of the state's most complex problems, I have to invite everyone to the table. And that includes government, business, nonprofit, and faith leaders as well. It also means that I hold really passionate values on what it means to be a Floridian. I think access to healthcare is key to that. I think ensuring we have strong public schools is necessary as a progressive Democrat. Environmental protection is a part of that. Ensuring that we have good paying jobs and wages that actually allow individuals to achieve upward economic mobility. You know, those are my values as a progressive. And as an authentic person and someone who cares deeply about my community, I also think it's critical that I never sacrifice my values. That's what it means to be a progressive Democrat.
All right. So Medicare for all, is that one of your issues?
So we stand alongside our partners that advocate for Medicare for All. As a state legislator, I'm looking at options like expanding Medicaid as the first step towards that. But I absolutely do feel that we need to look at different opportunities to expand healthcare. And if Medicare for All under the next governor is something that people wish to pursue, I'm absolutely excited to talk about it and make it a reality.
What about abortion issues?
Well, I think that many of your listeners know that my background for the last 6 years has been working at Planned Parenthood as one of the state's and nation's most passionate, effective advocates on access to safe and legal abortion. I'm unapologetic when it comes to ensuring women can make their own personal medical decisions. And whether that is to raise a child, choose adoption, or end a pregnancy, I am unabashed when it comes to the fact that that is a decision to be made between a woman, her family, her doctor, and her faith. And so not only do I care deeply about abortion access, but I refuse to allow others to shame the one in four women in this country who have made the decision to end a pregnancy.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes chatting with Anna Iskamani for House District 47 in Central Florida.
Any thoughts on the term and being described as a socialist? Where do you stand when someone calls you a socialist, and how do you respond to that?
So I don't personally identify with socialism. My goal is to redefine what it means to be a Democrat in this state, which is why, you know, I choose to subscribe as a progressive Democrat. I do feel like majority of Floridians are moving away from labels in general, and we need to do our part to hold the opposition accountable, but paint the picture for what a new Florida could look like. And even on our website, we have something called Anna's Opportunity Agenda, and that's where we outline our vision for the state on 13 key issues. And some may look at that and try to put us into boxes. I mean, I have been called so many words under the sun. And for me, I stay focused on what we need to do to make sure that every Floridian in this great state, no matter what their political ideology is, can live life to its fullest potential. And so that's always my litmus test is, you know, how will this impact the public good? When people call me anything, Tramell, honestly, I'm a firm believer of doing no harm, but also taking no shit. And so I'm really committed to making sure we share our story proactively so others won't share it for us. And I feel pretty confident that we've done an amazing job in our campaign on letting folks know where we stand on the issues.
So who else, as I look around the state, that has that Ocasio-Cortez energy in running for office right now?
Well, absolutely, Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith. Carlos is an incredible champion for his district and for Floridians across this state. I think he's an incredible role model for all of us, and he helps to hold Democrats accountable to our values. Something that I also really try to strike, not to go back to the previous question, but I was talking to my twin sister about this, and folks know my twin sister, Ida Eskimani, who's also very involved in the process and is an advocate herself and a leader in the community, about Democrats and small businesses. Because I think that time and time again, what the opposition tries to paint is that Democrats don't know business. And when Democrats are called socialists by the opposition, I think it's also branded not only to polarize Democrats from voters, but it's also done to mislead and confuse people and to paint the picture that Democrats don't understand business needs. And one of my first platforms we rolled out is actually called 47 Means Business. And it's our progressive approach to ensuring that business owners, managers, workers, and entrepreneurs can coexist and each achieve their aspirations. And on that platform, we outline increased wages, but we also outline workers' comp reform and attracting investors and cutting red tape where we can for small businesses. I mean, I take a lot of pride in that, because in the last year that I've been on the campaign trail, I mean, I've learned so much about the businesses in our district and what keeps them up at night. And I want to make sure that our voters know that Democrats not only understand business, but we care about the success of small businesses. And that also means eliminating, you know, crony capitalism and making sure that small businesses don't get left behind. But I think it's important as Democrats that we also can demonstrate to our voters that we understand their struggles, and if they wish to open up a small business or have a startup, that we got their back in making that a reality. So I really prioritize that on our campaign too, and encourage folks to check out our 47 Means Business platform for their feedback and their insight.
So in this lightning round, as we wrap up, just trying to get your thoughts on the people you're supporting, because it's not forgetting that while you're a candidate, you're also a voter. So if you'll indulge me, when it comes to the Senate race, where does your support lie?
Absolutely with Senator Bill Nelson, wholeheartedly.
And then looking to the governor's race.
So I actually haven't endorsed anyone in the governor's race, and I am still processing what I'll do with my ballot. I think we have some really great Democratic options. I have a better idea of who I won't be voting for, but I feel pretty passionate that whoever gets out of that primary is going to be better than the opposition.
But some are looking. I get that question all the time, like, you know, from folks, who are you going to vote for? And they want to know. So I know there's a lot going on the Democratic side in the governor's race. So let's turn to who you might not vote for. And that's on the Republican side. What issues do you have? And who's the one that's most problematic over on the Republican side? So I can play along with you here.
That's so funny. I love this question. I think they both have really, they both present challenges to Floridians in the sense of why they're both bad. I mean, Adam Putman has sold his soul to the NRA and to major corporations, has a track record that is awful on issues that we've talked about, including reproductive health. We also know that Ron DeSantis has been endorsed by President Trump, and that seems to be, you know, his call to action. And in my eyes, anyone who stands next to President Trump, especially as joyfully as Ron DeSantis has, is automatically anti-women, because President Trump is a sexual predator. And if you accept his endorsement, then you are consenting to that type of behavior. And I have no patience for that. And so I think both of them would take Florida in dangerous directions. And I have a feeling that Floridians are going to understand that, too, once we get past the primary.
Well, Anna Eskamani, I am so happy to have you on the program, and I look forward to having you back again for a more extended discussion on the issues shaping this state. So thanks again for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Our next guest is a Tallahassee local, born and raised, then started his own business, several successful pizza shops, bars, and more. Jeremy Matlow is a candidate for Tallahassee City Commission, Seat 3. He's coming right up. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. Visit rotundapodcast.com to learn more about sponsoring this program. You'll have the ear of Florida's most influential decision makers listening to this program right now. Wouldn't you like to have your message, your story, reaching a statewide and even international market? There are no bounds when putting your sponsorship, your message here on this program. Propel your business and issue to the next level right here on The Rotunda. Welcome back to the program as I sit down with Jeremy Matlow, who's running for Tallahassee City Commission. So we're just a short walk from his campaign office, having a bit of afternoon tea. That's him, iced tea to be specific, because it's very hot here, while I'm trying a new carrot ginger kombucha at a coffee shop here in Railroad Square Art Park.
Tell me about yourself and what office you're running for right now.
Yeah, I'm Jeremy Matlow, running for Tallahassee City Commission, Seat 3. Haven't been a politician very long, you know, got in this race in December. I never really thought I was going to run for office. but I lived here all my life and just think it can be a better city than it is today. I grew up here. I was raised on the south side of town by a single mother of four and neighborhoods that many of us probably never even see, and decided to stay here, started getting street pies here, and started getting involved in local politics, and felt like we needed a change.
So I am, this episode, how it came about, I was talking to some folks about those who might fall into the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wave of things, bringing a change to the Democratic Party, and wanted to, and your name came up several times. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's interesting. People have been, you know, I think her victory really spoke a lot to just running on your values and getting out there and, you know, really just trying to represent everyday people and kind of get away from politics as usual and really just fight for the things that I think people want to be represented as. So I think her overwhelming victory just shows that when you actually get in and you do the hard work and you run on a good message, that people respect that and they'll show up for you.
Yeah. So why are you running?
I'm running because, you know, following the headlines the last couple of years, it's, you know, pretty clear, like, we need a change in local government, but also following national politics, it's really easy to watch news and just kind of feel helpless or hopeless. And I want people to realize that, you know, if we come together and work in local politics, there's a lot of real tangible change that we can be a part of and make, you know, within a year or two right here in Tallahassee. So,
So how would you describe the state of the Democratic Party now?
Whew, that's a hard question.
You know, or where do you fit in when it comes to Democrats? Right. And it has been seen as like there's an internal struggle, an inter-party struggle where, like, you know, there's the extreme left and the more moderate. Where do you fall?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think there's an extreme left of the party. I think what people call the extreme left is what people are looking for. You know, they want affordable health care. They want a decent living wage. They want, you know, their government to represent them. I don't think that's an extreme position to have. I just think the Democratic Party is starting to realize that is the norm, and that is, you know, our job is to represent people, and this is what people want. So I think the party is moving in that direction, and it's a good thing.
What's the signal that you're seeing that the party is moving in that direction?
I think we've seen a lot more the platform adopt for Medicare for All, you know, wages and those sorts of things. So I think people are realizing that if they get people excited and offer them a good platform, you'll see wins like we saw in New York City. You know, we saw Stacey Abrams in Georgia. So I think that's the signal, like, you know, this is the path to victory.
So in projecting to the future, is it going to happen here in Tallahassee with you?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to win. you know, we'll see. It's a different city politics isn't quite the same as some of the issues we're running on. But we are talking about serious issues like, you know, we have a 29% poverty rate in Tallahassee. You know, with working people added to that, it's almost half of our city that's struggling to pay their bills. And, you know, there's things we can do to move the needle on that. You know, we have a community redevelopment agency that's been focused on student housing that really should get into neighborhoods and, you know, put in streetscapes and those sorts of things and encourage local businesses and create job opportunities and more opportunities in areas that haven't seen them. So I think there's a lot we can do from a progressive platform at city government. And, you know, I hope, you know, we get some good people on there and we can do it.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes chatting with Jeremy Matlow, candidate for Tallahassee City Commission, Seat 3.
So let's get down to actually doing some of these things. You have your wish list, but, you know, there's often times when you're in the office, you realize things aren't able to be done right away or as not as easy as it sounds. So looking at candidates past, what will you be doing differently and what are the things that you will immediately target?
Yeah, so we're trying to get people involved early and speak plainly about what the issues are. You know, a lot of times when I go down to City Hall to speak on an issue, there may be three or four people there to speak because we're not really, as a government, we're not engaging the community, and as a community, we're not holding the government's feet to the fire. So it's kind of a twofold. So the issues we're talking about, you know, we hope when we get in there and we get a following, we are going to reach out to the community, tell people what decisions are coming up, you know, how they can affect the types of change that they want, and drive more people to the City Hall chambers and maybe even host City Hall meetings in their neighborhood so we can, like, really get community engagement. And I think When the community shows up, the commission will listen. It's not just, but if there's only two or three people there, the decisions won't be the same. And we've done that in our campaign. We decided to fundraise our campaign differently. Like, we're not taking stack checks from corporations. We're only taking money from individual people. And what we found is that actually works. We put our message out there. We asked just the community for support. We had 100 people show up, sign up to volunteer. We had 600 small dollar contributors. So it is a winning platform to say, we need to bring more people into the process. Mm-hmm.
So how much support are you getting from the establishment, the party, in your efforts running for office?
They've been supportive, people at the DEC and some past chairs. We don't really have, it's a nonpartisan seat, so this has never really been on its face value, at least, a Republican versus Democrat seat. So there are a lot of people, in the party that have been supportive. And I think, I think people all over are saying, like, this is how we win. And, that's what we're going to keep pushing. And I think, there may be some people who think, it's extreme or radical, but, I think as the victories start piling up, they'll see that this is going to be the norm.
Would you consider yourself the face, the future of the Democratic Party as well, along with those others that have caused those massive upsets?
Well, we've been endorsed by the Progressive Campaign Change Committee, boldprogressives.com. So we are getting a little following, even from people who on the national level following kind of what we're doing in Tallahassee. I don't know if I'm the future face of the party, but, I think overall, these are the issues that people that matter to people, and this is the future of our country, and that's what we'll be pushing for.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. I appreciate you having me. Thanks.
That's Jeremy Matlow, candidate for Tallahassee City Commission, seat 3. So just like that, shout out to David for sending in his tips and story idea that inspired this episode. I know there were other candidates that we could have profiled and we missed. Feel free to send me their names. I'll be sure to include and mention. But that's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Thanks to our special guest, Anna Escamani and Jeremy Matlow. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program with your generous financial support. And again, suggest topics and story ideas, and be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.